In the idyllic setting of Camino Island, Florida, a perfect storm brews, both literally and figuratively. Bruce Cable, charismatic owner of Bay Books, stands at the center of a world where rare manuscripts, literary ambitions, and deadly secrets converge. The beloved independent bookstore has been the heart of Santa Rosa's community for over 23 years, hosting a literary mafia of local writers who gather regularly on Bruce's elegant veranda. But beneath the champagne toasts and literary discussions lies a darker undercurrent: Bruce's questionable past dealings in rare manuscripts and a hurricane that's about to change everything. Hurricane Leo defies prediction models, strengthening into a Category 4 monster that makes a devastating turn toward Camino Island. As residents scramble to evacuate, Bruce secures his bookstore inventory and checks on his writer friends. The storm hits with catastrophic force, flooding Main Street under 4 feet of water and leaving the island in ruins. But the most shocking discovery comes the morning after. Best-selling author Nelson Kerr is found dead, supposedly struck by flying debris. Is it simply a tragic accident or something more sinister? When a writer dies, the first place to look is in his words. This becomes painfully relevant when Nelson Kerr's body is discovered with suspicious head wounds inconsistent with hurricane debris. Nick Sutton, an aspiring writer, immediately questions the scene: the unusual blood spatter, dried liquid on Nelson's 7-iron, and deliberately placed head wounds. The investigation uncovers Nelson's past as a whistleblower who exposed a client selling military software to hostile nations. More suspicious is the mysterious woman named Ingrid, who appeared shortly before the hurricane. Athletic and intense, she met Nelson after claiming to be a fan, then disappeared during the storm. Could she be a professional killer using the hurricane as cover? The autopsy confirms the worst. Nelson died from 4 precise blows to the head, 2 of them fatal. His skull was shattered with massive brain bleeding, and a sharp object ruptured his spinal cord at the base of his skull. These weren't random storm injuries, but calculated, deadly strikes. Nelson's unpublished 500-page manuscript may have been the motive for his murder. The novel exposed a fictional conspiracy: a corrupt company administering a drug called daxapine to dementia patients in low-end nursing homes. This fictional drug, accidentally discovered in China, stimulates the medulla to keep hearts beating in brain-dead patients, extending lives by 12 months. With Medicare paying thousands monthly per resident, the company fraudulently collects about $200 million in extra government payments annually. The fiction eerily approaches reality when Bruce's hired security firm, Alpha North Solutions, investigates. They discover 2 corporate giants, Glen Valley, owned by Fishback Investments, and Serenity Home, owned by Grattan Health Systems, operating hundreds of nursing facilities nationwide with poor care records but impressive profits. Their undercover work uncovers an actual drug, Flaxacil, marketed as vitamin E3, being given to brain-dead patients. After stealing a sample for analysis, their informant, Brittany Bolton, is found dead from an apparent opioid overdose, clearly murder, just like Nelson's death. Someone is killing to protect this lucrative scheme. Nelson was killed by professionals, a fact that makes this case particularly chilling. The mysterious Ingrid was actually Karen Charbonnet, an elite contract killer commanding fees in the millions. Her method was brilliantly simple: use the hurricane as cover for murder, making Nelson's death appear storm-related. Karen partnered with Rick Patterson, a professional sniper who later survived both a fall and gunshot wounds to the head after another job went wrong. Patterson identified Karen as his accomplice and confirmed they received $4 million through a broker to kill Nelson during the hurricane, using one of Nelson's own golf clubs as the murder weapon. The investigation revealed that contract killers of this caliber are extremely rare. While most hitmen are amateurs who get caught, a few masters command fees between $500,000 and $2.5 million. Female contract killers are virtually unheard of, making Karen exceptionally dangerous. Her calculated approach, leasing a nearby condo, using Bob Cobb to access her target, and executing the murder during a Category 4 hurricane, demonstrated meticulous planning few could match. Dan Dane Nodden, Ken Reed's third wife and former executive assistant, became the key to exposing Grattan Health System's conspiracy. After 14 years of marriage, Reed had forced her into semi-retirement, fearing she knew too much about the company. Upon discovering Reed's affair with a Dallas girlfriend, Dane began her own affairs, including one with Nelson Kerr. Dane provided Nelson the insider information that became the foundation of his novel, The Truth About Grattan's Secret Drug Program and Medicare Fraud. After Nelson's murder, she felt responsible and became determined to see justice done. As the investigation progressed, other insiders cracked under pressure. Sid Chenault used his knowledge of Grattan's financial systems to deliver incriminating evidence to the FBI, confirming the company spent approximately $80 million annually on Flaxacil through offshore accounts. F. Max Darden, another executive, traded immunity for exposing Reed's hidden half-billion-dollar fortune and extensive luxury assets. The conspiracy's exposure triggers swift justice. FBI agents raid nursing homes nationwide, confronting staff about unauthorized Flaxacil. Many cooperate when faced with arrest, revealing the operation's reach across 100 Grattan facilities. The case erupts publicly. 11 Grattan executives arrested, Ken Reed denied bail, assets seized, and the company forced into bankruptcy. Vitamin E3 is withdrawn, tort lawyers mobilize, and Nelson's book, Pulse, secures a 500,000 copy first printing, ensuring his exposé reaches the public despite silencing attempts. Karen Charbonnet is arrested in California while attempting to flee to Tokyo. The Justice Department must decide which murder case against her to prioritize. After hearing from three U.S. attorneys, the Attorney General selects Florida over Ohio and Wisconsin. The Florida case presents the strongest evidence: her fingerprint in Nelson's condo, an eyewitness who saw her fleeing, and Nelson's confirming phone call. Florida's enthusiasm for the death penalty makes it the logical choice. 10 months after Hurricane Leo, Santa Rosa Island shows clear signs of recovery. Construction crews work overtime, tourists return, and Bay Brooks reclaims its role as the community's cultural center. Bruce and Noelle formalize their 20-year relationship with a beach wedding, their vows suggesting their notoriously open marriage might be changing. Nelson's sister Polly considers a $50 million wrongful death claim against Ken Reed, with a prominent lawyer offering to take the case. Though hesitant about lengthy proceedings, she's encouraged that her brother's killers might face justice and his final work will expose the truth he died protecting. As summer returns to Camino Island, news breaks of Hurricane Buford forming in the Atlantic, eerily in the same area where Leo originated. The island's cycle continues with its blend of natural beauty, literary culture, and resilient community. In the end, Nelson's words live on, more powerful than the forces that tried to silence them. As Bruce reflected, when writers die, their words become their immortality, and in Nelson's case, his justice.